we were a team throughout. Our successes were successes together. Our failures were failures together. There's never one person's fault that like anything went poorly. And it was never one person's thing to brag about. It was a team effort throughout.
Write the world-changing book that will help grow your personal brand and your business as it makes the world a better place. Welcome to the Author's Corner, hosted by Robin Colucci. Every episode, we bring you some of the most successful authors, as well as other industry experts, to share some inspiration, motivation, tactical strategy, and fun. We'll also talk about the challenges and trends in the publishing industry. Don't get stuck in the idea phase. Join the Author's Corner today. Start writing the book you've dreamed about.
Hello and welcome to the Author's Corner. I am your host, Robin Colucci, and today's guest made me remember something from my past. My very first job after I graduated was with a New York Times bestselling author by the name of David Wise. And among the dozens of books that he authored, one of them was a political science textbook, which he co-authored with a lovely man named Milton Cummings, who was a political science professor at Johns Hopkins. And David and Milt had been working together as co-authors for decades. By the time I came to work for David Wise, they were about ready to do their sixth edition of Democracy Under Pressure, the number one selling intro to poli-sci textbook in the United States since it was originally produced 24 years prior. And I had the pleasure of working with them on the revision number six. And it was very interesting for me to witness the dynamics of a collaboration of co-authors, of two incredibly highly accomplished, brilliant men who were great friends. And at the same time, you know, co-authoring a book brings with it certain stressors. So I was more than happy to invite another pair of co-authors who happened to be a married couple. And let me tell you, sometimes David and Milt acted like a married couple with some of their internal disputes. But anyway, so our guests today are Brianna and Matthew Penfold. They are a wife and husband writing team that collaborated to write their debut book, The Entrepid Three, Animus Revealed. Their work was a labor of love, enlightened by their lifelong faith journeys and diverse experiences in both in medicine, law, victim advocacy, crisis intervention, research, and children and youth mentorship. So maybe this will all make sense when you realize Brianna is an attorney and Matthew is a pediatrician, and they reside in Virginia, where they are together raising their energetic toddler as they promote their traditionally published debut novel. And they are here today to share with us their experience as co-authors and discuss the genesis of their book idea, as well as the challenges that they faced, such as finding a writing process that worked for both of them and navigating their creative differences. They also discuss how their collaboration on the book translated into their marriage and how it, in fact, improved their understanding of each other's thinking as well as their collaboration styles. They highlight the importance of supporting one another through successes and failures and how they navigated the entire publishing process even beyond the writing. So there is a lot to learn here, and I hope that you will get a lot, especially if you're thinking about co-authoring a book. There's especially a lot to learn here. So enjoy. So Brianna and Matthew, welcome to the Author's Corner.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to have you here. When we heard from you guys inquiring about coming on and, you know, we learned that you're co-authors, I realized we've never had a conversation on the Author's Corner yet about the experience of being a co-author. And it's funny, my mentor, one of the first projects I did with him was with a co-author that he had been working with for over 30 years on a political science textbook. And they had developed an incredible friendship over doing six editions of this book. But I also remember, you know, there were also challenges to that relationship. and you know, some interesting kind of things. So I am positive that we'll have lots to talk about today. So yeah, I'd love for you to just, well, maybe we could just start out by you telling us a little bit about the genesis of your book idea and how you decided to co-author in the first place.
So of course it started during the pandemic.
Ah, right.
We had lots of time. So we were sitting there and I came up with the idea originally. Matt was still going into work. He works at a hospital. And so he was still having to go in, but I wasn't having to go into the office. So I was sitting at home and this idea came to me. And so I took it to Matt and he liked the idea. But basically it came from just kind of seeing things fall apart and wondering, okay, now what do we do? What do we do? We're sitting here kind of watching things fall apart and we wanted to do something. And on top of that, I was pregnant. So
multiple creative projects all at once. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think.
Yeah. So Brianna had the idea. And so Matt, how did you work your way into this since she was already at it?
Yeah, no. So it really did come from, we were looking around the world and I think both of us, we had many, many conversations about like sort of how discouraged we had kind of become. And I think we both were in a place where we wanted to try and do something productive and useful for a greater audience than more just, you know, our typical work lives. And I think the opportunity to write and author something that was a more positive, you know, something more positive in the world was really enticing to both of us at that point.
So I took my notes to him one day and I had jotted some things down and he thought it was an interesting project. And so then he started doodling and getting in on the notes. And so then it just kept building and we didn't know if it was going to become a book. And
oh, okay.
So it was just kind of an idea and we were wondering, okay, is this going to be a story? Is it going to be, you know, could it be something more? And so we were thrilled that when we started writing, it just kept growing, 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 and then turned into a book. And then we thought, hey, this can be a series. This is just part of the story.
Oh, my goodness. A series.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did you have more children also? No, I'm just kidding.
No, we have our hands full with the one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. So, you know, I know from having participated in writing many, many books over the years that it's not all smooth sailing. So give us a story a little bit maybe of a time where it felt particularly difficult or there were creative differences or whatever.
Yeah, I can speak to that. I don't mean that in a bad way, but like certainly early on was rockier, I would say, and not in like a very antagonistic way, but in the, we had to figure out what a process looked like. Brie writes, you know, has like a very specific way that she writes for her job. I have a specific way that I write for my job. Mm-hmm. And creatively, we think a little bit differently as well. And so even down to who is going to type on the computer. And it made sense at first that like, well, let's just share the load. You know, you type sometimes, I'll type sometimes. But then we found out pretty quickly that it actually made things more disjointed than you might expect.
Oh, interesting.
And so ultimately, I would say 90% of the book, Brie has typed it. And I've been sitting next to her and like, you know, we're going through the whole thing together, but we had to like really figure out who is the better typist and then who, when they are typing, creates a better working environment,
right,
and creative environment for both of us.
Oh, yeah, that's a really important point. I can totally see how that would be a factor. Yeah, interesting. What else?
Yeah, absolutely.
What else came up for you?
Well, I always tell people it felt a little bit like therapy. Because, but in the best way possible too, because if we had any little thing that was on our nerves about the other person, we couldn't be productive and write because that little thing would carry over into the creative process. And so pretty much at the beginning of every writing session, we had to kind of feel each other out and see, are we both ready to write?
Yeah.
And if we weren't, then we had to talk about the other thing and get past that. And then we were ready to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's really interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And
Matt.
You know, there would be, you know, there are times where even trying to figure out a time to write could be difficult as well. And how long we wrote for kind of varied by day by day. So if it's a long day at work, you know, and then also she's pregnant on top of that. And so like there's different levels of fatigue that come with both of those different things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you kind of have to figure out, as Brie was saying, measuring where are we at today? Hey, let's write. But like, if it's just a paragraph today, at least we've done something and gotten the ball rolling a little bit more today than we did. You know, we're that much further along than we were before. And just, you know, trying to find the space to be available and energized and engaged in the writing process, you know, was not always easy.
No.
That's a really good point, though, too, that you just brought up, which is making progress every day, even if it's just a little bit of progress. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that part of your model to, was that part of your commitment? How did you guys come to that?
So I think at first, I mean, because this is our first book, we were thinking we're going to write a chapter every day. We're going to just do so much every day. And then we quickly found out that that was not the case. And so some days it was, our plan was just spend some time every day, even if it's just talking about the book, even if it's just writing a sentence. But our goal was to try to at least get a paragraph. If it was a chapter, great. If things were flowing, we just kept going. But some days we just didn't have it in us, the energy to just keep going. And so it was like, let's just at least talk about it. Let's just try to make some progress in the process.
Yeah. And I think along the way too, I mean, you know, life changed so quickly for everybody during the pandemic. And you go from this period of like, everybody's pretty fearful and very afraid. So we're home as much as we can be home. Bree's pregnant. And then so we're writing as much as we could. And then we have a baby. And that sort of like change, I mean, we really actually had to put the whole writing thing on hold because they don't sleep exactly when you want them to. You know,
if they, he I've wasn't noticed that
familiar
too.
With the writing schedule.
So
we had to take a little pause on our writing for a bit until he was like sleeping better and we had the energy to write again.
Also a wise decision. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I can't even imagine. I remember those days. They were a while ago, but boy, I'm still trying to drink enough coffee to catch up on my sleep. And my son will be 30, not this year, but next year. So there you go. Yeah, it's really something. So I'm curious, did you guys ever in the process have like a real disagreement as far as something really key, like a key plot point or a key character trajectory or something? And if so, what was it and how did you resolve it?
It's a really good question. I think there was one point in the book where, you know, trying not to give away too many spoilers, but like there was a shift where we had talked about who our main antagonist character was going to be. Mm-hmm. And Brie came up with the idea to change it. I strongly disagreed with it, but I think it was definitely something that we talked a lot about.
Because like it was a big shift.
It was a big shift from how we had been writing the book. And it like required a lot of actually going back and making some changes as well. And I think working through it was just sort of is in the long run for the book and ultimately what maybe we envisioned to be a series, is this actually better for the book overall?
Right.
And I think you kind of have to, at some point, take some of the emotion out of it. I mean, writing is inherently emotional, but like we had to take some of it just like logically, is this the best thing for how our book and how we want it to look, even if it means there's additional work to do it.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know.
I was making your work.
Yeah, it's like a mix of work and ego, right? It's like on one hand, it's like, if sometimes we fall in love with our ideas, even if they're not what would serve the book. And then the other is actually the work of making the change. And they both require transcending yourself a little bit. I think it's interesting. So you found the process almost marriage therapy rolled into. I'm just thinking of my co-authors that I worked with early in my career. And I think if they had been married, I don't think they would have gotten the books done. I don't know if it would have really gone. I don't know if they would have made it through 30 years, but maybe they would have. They really did enjoy each other. But I guess, so in what ways did you see your ability to collaborate on a book translate into how you maybe handle things away from the book.
And I think even before we started writing, we knew that we collaborated well together. Mm-hmm. You know, we have very similar interests. We have very different personalities, but we've always gotten along. We've known each other since high school. And so we've been together a long time. Mm-hmm. And so we've always done little projects together, but it was kind of a challenge. Can we do this big project? Yeah. And so, but then I think the collaboration that we've learned from writing has now translated over into our marriage, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, because I think we can be more patient in some aspects because we've kind of seen the way each other thinks a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a window into the other person's mind, soul, just thought process. And so I think that's how it's kind of translated for me, is that I can now see Matt in a different way as well. And I understand more how he collaborates and how he likes to collaborate.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, I think to the point about how we think, mm-hmm. I think that became a really important part of marriage as well for us is, I mean, you can never be inside another person's mind, mm-hmm. but having walked through at least the creative process with them, you kind of see what things jump out to them, mm-hmm. what are important things more, you know, and I think that was sort of like, now I understand a little bit more about like why you will focus on,
right.
you know, maybe a certain particular topic or, mm-hmm. yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it was definitely opening into how the other person thinks.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's really cool. Hi there, Robin here. Have you been considering writing a thought leadership book that grows your business? How about writing a quality, standout book with a real book publishing deal behind it that not only grows your business, but also grows your influence and reach? In case you're new to the Author's Corner, my name is Robin Colucci, and I help world-class experts write world-changing books that get published. With over 30 years of experience in the publishing industry, I have helped clients write and publish books with Big Five and other top publishers. Many have gone on to become bestsellers from Amazon all the way up to the New York Times. And others have increased their business income 600 times or more as a result of their book and partnering with me and my team. If you are a top-notch expert who is ready to write your world-changing book, go schedule a free consultation call with one of my trusted team members today. We have a limited number of slots available, and we only take clients who are committed to the process and want to get their book started now. If that sounds like you, go to www.worldchangingbooks.com/application to apply for one of our exclusive spots. Once again, that link is www.worldchangingbooks.com/application. Now, back to the show. So one of the things you mentioned in your notes to me, which I thought was interesting, is this idea of failing and succeeding together.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say more about that in terms of how the book writing process informed that for you? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite a process.
It was very much a process. You know, I think writing, as with many things in life, you sort of go through this cycle of, you know, you do something, you see how it goes, and then you change, and then you do something different. And mm-hmm. you sort of go through this like plan, do, act, and mm-hmm. sort of like this nice little, a cycle that you work through. And I think that is highlighted by successes and failures. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, throughout the process, there was the success of, we're going to write a book.
Yeah.
And that's an exciting
Yay!
Thing.
Yeah.
And then there's like the failures, though, of, this is harder than we expected.
Right.
And there's shifts. But we got that figured out. And now the success of, we've actually written a book,
right.
and we've done this together. And then what felt like failures early on of like, how do we get a book published? I mean, mm-hmm. it was just like, there were many things that we didn't understand, which led to a lot of discouragement and in that sense, a bit of a failure. But then like you finally find a publisher and there's that feeling of success again. Mm-hmm. And I think like supporting each other through all of that, though, was very important, that like we were a team throughout this. Our successes were successes together. Our failures were failures together. There's never one person's fault that mm-hmm. like anything went poorly. And it was never one person's like thing to brag about that
right.
the reason we were successful. Like, it was a team effort throughout.
And it just made the process better, though, because, I mean, there was a long time where it was just crickets. We were sending, we didn't know where to start. We were Googling, you know, what do we do? We've written a book. And so it was like, we'll send it to these people. We'll try to get a literary agent. We'll try to do this. And so we're, it's like, you know, just a shot in the dark, it feels like. Right. And so, we're not hearing back from anybody. We're just waiting. We're trying different things. And so, yeah, those moments, it was nice to have someone else to go through that with, because we could talk about it and we were both feeling the same way.
Yeah, I'm really, so, you know, your book was published by Kohler.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a real deal publisher. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I mean, for first time authors, you had never published anything before?
No.
Yeah, no. Huh?
You must make a great team. So tell us about more about that journey. Did you end up finding an agent, or did you end up going direct to Kohler, or what did you do?
We did not find an agent. So at first we thought, well, let's just send it to all the big names and see what happens. Nothing. So then we were like, okay, well, maybe we need a literary agent. Couldn't get a literary agent. So then I actually have some friends that are authors, and we said, how did you do it? What did you do? And everybody said, try someone local. And so we actually live in Virginia, and Kohler is based in Virginia. And so we reached out to Kohler and that's how it came about.
And it was pretty wild because, I mean, as I'm sure you have experienced and people have talked to you about many times, I mean, it feels like if you want to become a published author, the best way to be a published author is to have published something already. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like this very cyclical, impossible thing to break into.
Yes.
And so we would send, so like Brie was saying, we'd send stuff off and we'd wait. I mean, it'd be these long waiting periods of just like, well, let's hope so, let's pray. And then with Kohler, we heard back from them in like 48 hours. Yeah. I mean, it was like, it was a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciated their team and their super helpful, you know, sort of onboarding us.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Well, I can assure you, based on my several decades of experience in publishing, it's not just because you were local. So it's a true achievement, and congratulations on that.
Thank you, really
fantastic. I'm sure all those agents are kicking themselves now for not being on board. And what do you have any ideas for? You mentioned something about a series.
Yes. We've already started working on the second book. Very slowly, though, because...
Mm-hmm. You have a baby.
Yes. That. And then the promotional work for the first book, you know, that takes a lot of work. So we're trying to find the time to do everything, and we're coming up short with time. So we're already working on the second book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic. And so what kinds of things besides podcast interviews are you doing to promote your book?
Yeah, we've been working with a company called Book Savvy, and we'd be remiss if we didn't, you know, mention Lauren Hathaway, who's been our PR person for the last few months. She's been super helpful.
Yeah.
And we've been writing just some articles. You know, not necessarily even about the book, but just sort of things that come to mind. And she's been helping get those out into more like mainstream media areas.
And then, of course, we have social media, but we are not social media gurus. Yeah. We try, but...
Yeah.
I think that social media is... I don't know. I have yet to be convinced that social media is a huge factor in book sales, but that's just maybe me. But yeah, we had an episode on that a couple of years ago when we first started the podcast about how it tends to be overweighted in publishers' minds. And that there's all kinds of reasons people buy books, and it's often has nothing to do with why people follow you on social media.
Right.
So, absolutely. So fantastic. So anything else? Have you been out speaking, or what else are you doing?
We have not been out speaking book yet. Signing. We'd like to.
That's a good
idea. You have that baby though. Yeah. There's that.
And he's three now.
He's three now.
So that's a whole nother ball game.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, now he's tiny and can run faster than you. So that's
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And boys never stop moving, do they?
No, he certainly doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that too. Yeah.
But we'd love to. We're not opposed. Do book signings. But right now it's more just, you know, finding time to write and then getting out what we write.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific. Terrific. Well, that's fantastic. All right. Let's see if we have anything else that I needed to ask you that I have not covered yet. So you talk about, let's talk about this. You talk about continue learning. Mm-hmm. Say more about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a continual learning as far as like how to be a better writer. And then also, as we've talked about, you know, continued learning each other right. as well. So it's sort of a multifactorial, you know, process. But I think the writing game has, there's been a lot of learning mm-hmm. in that and learning what works best for us. But also, I mean, there's a lot you can read about. There's 100 blogs about how to write a book and the best right. way to do it, and the best way to edit. And I think really a lot of it's been finding what works for us
right.
because you can get all sorts of
advice
from whoever, but many of them, it's like, there's not as many about how to co-author right. a book with your spouse, right?
So yes.
it's a different ball game.
Right.
And I think learning each other, learning the writing process and really learning what works for us. And we've talked about this, how we're continually learning to write, just like we've continued to learn how to do marriage in general mm-hmm. as well. It just it's a constant process of we're ever changing, the book is always changing, and learning, well, what works this week may not work next week
right.
and that's okay, and we just need to be flexible and go with it if we want to really continue to be successful in this.
Absolutely. And we both really enjoy learning. We mm-hmm. we like growing and changing and, you know, challenging ourselves. And so even on a broader look at things, we have enjoyed learning about the characters, learning about each other, learning about the writing process, but then just learning what we believe about the greater world too.
Yeah.
Because this all started from the idea that we were discouraged and we were kind of downtrodden. And so it's helped us to grow in that aspect too of, okay, how do we see the world now? How do we see humanity now? You know, where are we with that?
Yeah.
So it's been learning just all around, honestly.
Yeah.
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 Terrific. Matt, were you going to add something else?
I was just going to say, you know, but learning about the world. And I think that ends up informing our characters as
Absolutely.
Well. And sort of like the spin, the story that each of them, you know, our book is set up in these three different worlds that sort of coexist, but don't overlap at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're trying to tell a story that is reflective and analogous to the world that we're seeing around us. And I think as we're experiencing current events, it certainly is informing
right.
what is happening with our characters. Because it's like, oh, well, there's a real life thing. Maybe we can find a way to incorporate that to make this feel more real to mm-hmm. our readers as
right.
well.
Right. Personal learning turns into part of the writing process.
Right. Yeah.
So the question I probably should have asked you first, which is, what prepared you for this process of writing a book? How were you with books and writing before you wrote this book? What is your relationship history there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't mean to speak for you, but Bree is, I would say, much more of a reader than I am, just like at baseline, and particularly fiction.
Yeah.
You read more fiction than I do mm-hmm. at baseline. And I think at baseline, I probably read a little more nonfiction than you do. But I think still being readers was an important part of the preparation. I think our jobs both require a fair amount of mm-hmm. writing too. And so it's not like we're not used to writing or typing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And kind of to back to the last question too of, you know, the learning, we really like to learn. And so we spent a long time in school. Mm-hmm. And I think we've both always enjoyed and liked the thought of writing and then to actually do it was really enjoyable. But we've always written things little here and there, but mm-hmm. just never together and never anything this large.
Yeah. And I don't think we're afraid of a challenge either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something new. We've never done it before, but I don't think that that was even a beginning discouragement. I think we kind of have this relationship at this point in our marriage where no matter what it is that's in front of us, like it'd be hard to find something that we would say like we couldn't
Or we wouldn't
that.
Want
to
try
it. We wouldn't
want to
try it.
It.
We couldn't tackle it. Yeah. Like, we'd at least give it a shot. Yeah.
We might not succeed, but we'd give it a try.
Yeah.
Well, if the book results are anything, you know, and of course, this 3-year-old you have, I think it's probably a good track record.
Well, thank you.
Brianna, were you going to add something else to that before I so rudely interrupted you?
No, you're okay.
Well, yeah, as I'm listening, though, I'm hearing, you know, Because something that I think is so vital to anybody being able to write well is to read a lot. And so I'm not surprised to hear that you're both readers. How do you write in your regular work? Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
It's not super exciting. So I am an attorney and I write all things legal, lots of contracts, deeds, trusts, wills, all that good stuff. And then Matt.
And then I'm a pediatrician. And so like you know, it's always documenting, you know, your patient's story, but like you still, in many ways, like you still kind of approach it as like a little bit of
storytelling
because you're writing it for yourself, you're writing it for the patient, you're writing it for the next physician who sees this patient. And so you're trying to tell an accurate story of what has happened with the patient, what your thought process was. So, I mean, I think I'm also in like infectious diseases as well. And people probably don't know this, just a baseline about infectious disease doctors, but we write very long notes. And so like, it's sort of like a natural like step off.
Yeah. Wow. So COVID, with that specialty, COVID was probably a big deal in your world, professionally even.
At the time that COVID kicked off, I was not in infectious diseases yet. I was still a general pediatrician at that point in time and have since, I'm at the end of my pediatric infectious disease fellowship training. So 6 months left there.
So you switched over.
I switched over mid-pandemic.
Interesting.
To specialize.
Yeah.
Huh. And was it the pandemic that inspired that switch for you or?
No, I mean, I think it certainly helped to a certain degree. I also think there was a fair amount of interest just in infectious diseases. I had a really good mentor during my residency training who reached out to me at a good time and had said, hey, there's this opportunity to train. And I said, hey, I think that's, we talked about it and felt like it was a good change for the family.
Wow. So you've really been busy. You've not only written a book and had a child, but now you've also expanded your education and your training. Gosh, do you guys sleep ever? I mean, what is
that? I know. And sleep is so important to both of us.
Yeah.
Well, it does get better. As I'm sure you already know that by the time they're three, it's usually better.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. He's a good sleeper.
Yeah. For sure. And he's a lot of fun. Hey.
He is. Yeah.
Aren't they? I love that toddler stage. It's too fun. It's so. You know what my favorite thing about toddlers is they just say whatever's on their mind.
And they
they have no filter. And I'm just so envious that they can do that.
I know.
Yeah.
They're the best comedians.
Yes.
I know,
right? He's hilarious. Yeah.
He's so much funnier than we are.
I know. They can do that and get away with it. You know, I know.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. So you guys are already in the process of writing book two. That's fantastic. Now, do you have a multiple arrangement with Kohler or are they just going to see what you do?
Yeah. I think it's a wait and see.
A wait and see. It's fair when it's your first novel.
Yeah.
So we'll have to produce this, you know, write it and then go back and say, hey, we've written something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I'm sure they'll be excited to see what you do. I'm sure we will be excited to hear how your career progresses. And yeah, this is just, I'm so inspired by your story. And I hope that our readers are you know, see, this is because I'm a writer.
Yeah.
I hope that our listeners are inspired as well. Before I let you go today, I want to throw at you my signature final question, which is, what have I not asked you today that you would love to answer?
Okay, what do you think?
Oh man, there's not so many, but that's a hard question to think about.
I think I have one.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe what's been our favorite thing about writing together?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, so I came up with the question. I came up with the question, so you have to
answer. I have to answer our favorite, my favorite thing.
No, we'll both answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorite thing, honestly, I do think that it's been like, getting to know you more, but also like producing something, you know, kind of like tangible, but like it's been very life-giving, but it's also something that we'll be able to pass on, you know, like I think it's something we'll be very proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a cool thing. Not many people can say that they've published a book with their spouse. It's something we can pass on to our son. It's sort of like a legacy building opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with that as well. But I think my favorite thing has just been the idea building. So one person comes up with an idea and then the other person says, and then what if we did this? And then the next person, you know, and what if we did this? And it just kept building and growing. That was just so cool because I don't think I've ever had that experience in my life with someone of being so creative, but then it just growing and growing and growing and turning into something that I would have never expected. Mm-hmm. I think that was just so cool to see the build of it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so gorgeous and beautiful. I loved hearing the two of you share about that. And it not only speaks to, your book, but I think it speaks to, you know, who you are as a couple. And it's very inspiring to hear that connection as well. Yeah, this has just been fantastic and informative, inspiring, and fun. And I want to thank you both once again for being with us on the Author's Corner.
Thank you so great. Much. Yes, we've had a great time.
Us. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Author's Corner. You're one step closer to writing the world-changing book you've dreamed about for years. To access today's show notes and other helpful resources, simply visit our website at theauthorscorner.com. A positive review would be appreciated. Until next time.